Welcome to Batescast, a series of podcasts delving into all things legal as we adjust to the new normal. We hope that these bite-sized insights will help you to understand and navigate this period of global uncertainty. Today, I'm joined by Tim Burndon, head of our immigration team. Tim's going to be sharing thoughts on what impact the current crisis has had on the immigration landscape, as well as looking ahead to what we can expect next. So thank you for joining me today, Tim. Tim, the impact of the COVID crisis is being felt everywhere, not least for people who are currently in our immigration system. Has everything been frozen as a result of the crisis, or is there any business as usual going on?
Well, not everything's been frozen, but it's certainly slowed everything down a lot, and quite a lot of things have been stopped in their tracks. So applications for permits and visas, those are made online, and you can still do those. What you can't do, though, is you can't then go ahead and enroll your biometrics. So biometrics meaning your photograph, your fingerprints. All immigration processing in the UK requires people to enroll their biometrics. And what's happened is that the centres where you can have your biometrics enrolled, both overseas and in the UK, those have all been locked down. Also, when you submit an application now online, it's a digital process, you then upload your documents in support of the application. And currently, you can't do that either. So people can make applications and then they're going into a holding pattern. And that's across the board, both outside the UK applying for visas and people applying for permits or permanent status here in the UK. And then the other aspect, of course, is the simple aspect of travelling and the difficulties that people may have getting to the UK or entering the UK when they get here. And of course, what we're looking at now is the introduction of a quarantine, which should be coming through, according to recent government announcements, around early to mid-June.
Okay, great. Thank you. People everywhere are experiencing new financial pressures as a result of the crisis. For those looking at visas, will there be any concessions from the government? How is an application going to hit their pockets?
Okay, so dealing with the issue of concessions, first of all. Actually, yes, there have been some quite useful concessions from government, and those have been in two phases, effectively. So we've just recently learned of an extension of the concessions and some addition of some new ones. So if you're in the UK and your permit to live here or to stay here is going to run out up to the 31st of July 2020, you can make an application simply to extend your stay if you're able to assert that the reason why you need to do so is you can't return home due to COVID. So for those people who are visiting in the UK and are stuck here, for example, elderly granny doesn't want to travel for obvious reasons, she can make an application if she's just here as a visitor to extend her stay. And those are relatively straightforward applications requests to make. There are problems with the Home Office not acknowledging them, but those are there. And that concession is now being extended to the end of July. And another really important concession is that those people who normally would have to go back home to make visa applications can now make applications to switch their status in the UK if their current visa is due to expire on or before the 31st of July. So, for example, historically, visitors can't switch into being here as, the spouse of a British citizen, and now
okay.
They can.
Great.
And they've also rolled out a number of areas of which do help some people financially. For example, those people who are here with visas or making applications to stay here as sponsored workers, while their application is held in the queue, they can in certain situations start work, and the same has also been applied to some students. So there are some concessions which are taking some of the financial pressure off, but some people are really being hit financially. So for example, if you're here as a fiancé to stay here with a British citizen, you can't move your application forward. You're not allowed to work while you're here as a fiancé.
So Tim, we've heard a lot in the media recently about key workers who are also migrants. What is the latest on their status?
So there's a very interesting turnaround last week. It's the general position that people applying for permits or visas to come or live in the UK temporarily have to pay an immigration health surcharge. And it's fairly hefty, and year on year, more or less, it's being increased. So currently, those people who are applying to stay in the UK temporarily have to pay a surcharge of £200 per year of their residence in the UK. So the point that's being made, why on earth are we charging those key workers in the care system and in the health system, why are those people having to pay this surcharge given the contribution they're making? And people saw that the government initially dug their heels in and said, no, we're going to carry on I'm charging these people, and the outcry turned that situation around really very rapidly. I think actually the position of key workers in the UK is going to become really, really important, particularly in the context of immigration changes that we're expecting to see coming through at the beginning of next year. If I think there's one area there may be some government turnaround on, it'll be this.
Okay, thank you. So how about appeals? Are there any going ahead currently?
Yes, appeals are going ahead. There'd already been a process of digitization of immigration appeals and other appeals that was underway. Immigration appeals are heard through the first tier tribunal and upper tribunals of the Immigration and Asylum Chamber. So appeals are going ahead, but courts are having to look at how those can be dealt with remotely. It's meant in practice that we've had to comply with some really quite onerous accelerated directions, which means the instructions that come from the court as to how we have to handle a case, how we have to submit our evidence and so on. And we're having to make representations as to why it's essential that our clients' appeals should actually be heard rather than considered, as it were, on the papers. So we've been busy complying with those directions, and it's meant that in our practice, we've had to adopt new ways of meeting with our counsel, barristers, having conferences. Of course, the whole world now is on Zoom, but that's the way in which we're now preparing appeals. What's quite interesting is that the Home Office itself is not keeping up. And we're finding that although we're complying with directions, the Home Office are not, which is going to lead to some interesting arguments about whether or not our appeals should simply be allowed. But that's still to come. We're in the early phases of all of this.
Okay. The crisis has left people stranded in more ways than one. If someone who's in the process of applying for a visa has found themselves stuck abroad, what impact is that going to have?
Well, if I think about my clients, really the impact is upon family life. So you might, for example, have a couple who were wanting to apply for a visa to come to the UK to get married and then settle here. So a fiancé visa or a proposed civil partnership visa. So obviously those people can't move their applications forward because they can't enrol their biometrics. They can't get to the UK. It means they're having to delay their marriage plans. And of course, the impact on couples that have been kept apart for prolonged periods is in itself quite dramatic. But if you're in different countries, then of course, that's, you know, it's a much more severe outcome. I've come across a case recently of a young woman who actually has permission to be in the UK, but because of the difficulty in flying, she has a real particular problem. She's expecting her child shortly. She's worried about flying too close to the date on which she's due to give birth. On the other hand, she's also worried about being stuck outside of the UK. A particular concern is later on when she comes to apply for her permanent status in the UK, she has to account for her absences from the UK in the meantime. Now, we have seen some welcome signs of concessions on the government's part that they won't hold against people time spent stuck outside of the UK through COVID. But of course, the anxiety for people like her is really quite great. I think also some families are really worrying about vulnerable relatives and not being able to bring those vulnerable relatives to the UK, or if those vulnerable relatives are here in the UK, worried about them going back home again. And then, of course, some people are finding that their plans to be able to work in the UK are being delayed. So people may have made decisions to come and live here with a partner, may have sold property, may have given up jobs, okay, to take on employment, but then find that they can't actually come here because of the closing down of the visa system.
Okay, thank you. Looking ahead to the next 12 months, what can we expect? Any major changes on the horizon? And is it time to start talking about Brexit again?
Yes, I'm afraid Brexit is very much going to be on the agenda because we're coming up to the 31st of December 2020. And on the 1st of January 2021, free movement will end. A key question, I think, is where is that going to leave key workers? And the reason I ask that is because alongside the moving forward of Brexit is going to be a new immigration bill. That's moving forward through Parliament at the moment. And that new immigration bill is bringing into system a new points-based system. We already have a points-based system, but it's a new points-based system. And this one is very much built around the division between high-skilled and low-skilled. And really what drives high-skilled and low-skilled, it's not really the skills, it's the amount of money the person earns. So we were talking earlier about the situation of key workers in the UK. Most of those key workers will be earning less than the cutoff point from where they would be defined as highly skilled. And those kinds of workers in the UK are going to find it quite difficult to be able to secure permits or visas to work here in the future if the new bill does take force as it is unamended. And this is an area that I can see quite a lot of pressure being applied to the government. And in the current sort of situation around coronavirus and the way it's playing out domestically and politically, I do think that there may well be some movement on that particular point. But otherwise, We can see Brexit coming through at the beginning of next year. And of course, all eyes will be on negotiations with the European Union as to whether or not it does go forward on the 1st of January as planned, or there'll be some kind of crisis around a delay to negotiation and whether that means that we will effectively get to the 1st of January 2021 and not have those negotiations finalised.
Staying with the theme of the next 12 months, if you were to look even deeper into your crystal ball, what would you guess is a headline we're very likely to see in the next 12 months?
So I was talking earlier on about concessions around the so-called low-skilled key workers. And I am cautiously hopeful that there may be some room for pressure there because of the contribution that that sector has been perceived as making in the context of COVID-19. I think that there may be some potential for pressure to create a more liberal system for those types of workers under the new points-based system in due course.
Excellent. And can you give me one headline that you think we definitely won't see in the next 12 months?
So I don't see that there'll be a complete stop to Brexit. I don't think we're going to see substantive liberalisation of the government's agenda around immigration. I don't see any changes to the ways in which people apply for visas to come to the UK to live here with family or partners.
Thanks, Tim. If you're interested in learning more about any of the issues we've discussed today, our immigration team produces regular updates, which you can find on bateswells.co.uk, or you can sign up to our mailing list to get them straight to your inbox. Next time, we'll be talking about what employers need to consider as the nation plans to go back to work. Until then, from all of us at Bateswells, stay safe.